application fee. Congratulations, the next page said. Your application has been received. I printed the confirmation page. I couldn't wait to tell my grandmother during our Sunday visit. My mind buzzed as I drove my mom's car over, chest tight with anticipation. My grandmother and I talked about TV and screenwriting all the time, but she never remembered what I'd told her a few months before. That I was trying my hand at writing. After she told me about Madeline Pugh and I Love Lucy, I watched more and more shows, especially in the quiet days after my parents' divorce. But freshman year, I took it a step further. Whether I loved an episode or hated it, I analyzed. What worked? What didn't? What were the most powerful character moments? Where did the conflict come from? I watched classic sitcoms from my parents' generation. I kept up with all the shows my friends were watching. I found a website where original TV scripts were archived, and I read through all the dialogue and cues. It wasn't until after Aaron died that I bought Screenwriting for Beginners. I learned that aspiring screenwriters often draft episodes of currently running TV shows, called spec scripts, like a writing audition. I figured I understood the Mission District well enough to emulate it. So I started writing late at night, and it wasn't very good at first. But I knew it wasn't good because I knew what good writing sounded like. So I fixed it, little by little. My friends teased me about my intent viewing of so many shows, joking that I should be writing columns for TV Guide. Most people think watching a lot of TV is just lazy, that TV is a lowbrow form of entertainment. It seemed like a weird thing to be truly passionate about. But my grandmother understood, and I knew she'd understand about the screenwriting program too. I let myself into her apartment and called out my hello. She stayed in bed for most of our visits, no longer bothering to put on her face beforehand. I did it for her last time, smiling as I applied red lipstick on her now lopsided mouth. She laughed when I put the mirror up and accused me of making her look saucy. "Hi, Grammy," I said.
"There's my girl."
She sat up and I cozied on the bed beside her. I'd printed out the program page detailing the basics, and I placed it in her good hand. Her eyes moved left to right, slower than usual. She turned to me.
"Oh, honey, how fabulous. You're thinking about it?"
I handed her the page confirming my application, and she gasped, delighted. "I doubt I'll get in, though, and there's no way Mom will let me go, especially because of how expensive it is."
"I couldn't be happier, sweet girl. This is exactly what I needed today."
We sat in her bed and talked about everything. The details of my application, the classes offered. She told me about her trips to New York, about all the places I could see. I held her paralyzed left hand as we daydreamed out loud together. And for once, I didn't stop myself with how unlikely it was that my dreams would ever come true. Chapter 16. I never expected that my first almost date with Ryan Chase would end at the grocery store. We started the evening at his favorite pizza joint, conspiring over a medium-sized deep-dish pie. Ryan laughed a lot, draining several sodas as we mapped out the party plans. We decided we'd lure Max to Ryan's house under the guise of picking him up for a movie. We texted everyone the details, including where they should park, so Max wouldn't suspect anything. By the time the check came, we'd spent 2 hours talking about things Max would like, and laughing over the idiosyncrasies that were familiar to both of us.
After dinner, we roamed the aisles of the grocery store together like an old married couple. If old married couples bought lots of party decorations and soda. I smiled as we passed the cereal aisle, feeling our relationship had come full circle. It would be perfect if only he actually knew about said relationship.
"Streamers," he said, pitching two more packages into the cart. "Check."
I put a check mark on the list, which Ryan had written down on a napkin. He had even, left-slanted handwriting, much neater than I'd expect from a guy. If Morgan only knew. Ryan's idea was to make Max's birthday like when they were younger, with cheesy decorations, streamers and noisemakers, and enough balloons to inundate the house. Pushing the cart forward, I caught up with Ryan, who was scanning the racks for trick candles. He leaned closer to one of the packages, studying the label. "They don't sell them here," I said. "My dad tried to buy them for my sister's birthday last year." He selected number candles, a 1 and a 7, and a pack of the standard issue colored candles.
"These will work. I think that's everything. Decorations, check. Candles, check. Cake order, check."
The cake was a specialty design, and it took Ryan 5 full minutes of his best flirting game to sweet-talk the bakery department into it. I nodded. "Looks good." On our way to the checkout, we walked past the floral department. I paused in front of the lines of bouquets, from simple red roses to wildly purple irises. I thought of the fancy pink peonies in my 8th grade collage.
"You want to get Max flowers too?"
Ryan teased. "Nah, I'm just trying to decide which one is my favorite." My eyes passed over white lilies and fuchsia gerbera daisies, Morgan and Kaylee's respective favorites, but not mine. No, my gaze caught on the tulips, beautiful but not showy, in white and yellow and pale pink. They looked like they belonged in a bicycle basket on the streets of Paris.
"Can I guess?"
Ryan asked. I laughed a little. "Okay." He moved down the line of flowers with his hand out, like he was searching for gold with a metal detector. He paused at the daisies, turning to glance at me. I shook my head.
"Yeah," he said. "A little too simple."
His feet stopped at the tulips next, and he turned to gauge my reaction. When he pointed to the orange ones, I wrinkled my nose and he switched to pale purple. "How'd you guess?" I asked as we moved toward the self-checkout lanes.
"Everything else seemed too fussy or too bright. Tulips are sweet, but unassuming."
I felt my face turning tulip pink. This wasn't a date, I knew that. So why did it feel like a date? There, in the same grocery store where Ryan Chase first snagged my heart, I promised myself if the moment happened, I'd kiss him tonight. Checking off item number 3 on my list felt so close. Maybe he just needed a little nudge. After we'd scanned everything, my heart pulsing faster every time he looked at me, I heard a peal of laughter from behind us. I glanced back to see Leanne Woods, in tight jeans and spike heels, hanging on the arm of a tall guy in a leather jacket. He looked older, but not old enough to be buying the case of beer in his hands. I turned away just in time to watch Ryan's face fall. It was almost a wince as he concentrated on the payment screen. In another minute, I heard Leanne's heels clacking toward the exit. My eyes followed her, that long dark ponytail swishing across her back. With the clopping of her shoes, she reminded me of a show pony, beautiful and meant to be seen. When she was gone, I asked, "You okay?" Ryan nodded, loading the final bag back into the cart.
"Orchids," he said quietly. "If you were wondering, those are her favorite."
I pushed my bangs off my face, puzzling over what I could possibly say to him.
He had been downright gleeful all night. Now he looked like one of the deflated balloons that we'd purchased by the dozen. We were quiet the whole way back to my house, and I wished bad things on Leanne for hurting this sweet boy and ruining our night. Not really bad things, of course, just like split ends and a few zits that even concealer couldn't disguise. When he pulled into my driveway, I glanced over. Max is gonna love this party.
I hope so.
He slid the car into park and leaned back in his seat. I took this to mean that he didn't want me to leave quite yet, so I waited for him to continue.
You know, I feel kind of responsible for Max since I convinced him to come back to Oakhurst. He liked Coventry, and I literally begged him to transfer so I'd have, like, one good friend here. What a loser, right?
He gave a bitter laugh, running his hand through his hair. Seeing him with his cool guy facade down only made me like him more.
When Leanne broke up with me, it was like...
He trailed off.
It wasn't just her that bailed on me, it was everyone trailing along behind Leanne like they were her royal subjects. Well, everyone but Connor and Ty.
Tessa had mentioned this before in so many words. It seemed much worse coming from Ryan, seeing the betrayal creased in the lines of his face. That's pretty cold.
Yeah,
he snorted.
Which is, ironically, one of the things I liked about Leanne. She does what she wants and says what she thinks, really mean, really nice, doesn't matter. She has no filter, and I always thought that was so cool. No bullshit, no guessing.
He could have been describing Tessa, too. No wonder he always seemed taken by her. She shared a quality with Leanne that he'd loved, a quality I was markedly lacking. You're not over her, are you? I asked, and he shrugged.
My parents are high school sweethearts, so I thought that's how it might go for Leanne and me.
He gave a self-deprecating laugh.
That's so lame, right? I'd probably get kicked off the track team for saying crap like that.
It's not lame. In fact, I knew all too well how it felt to have your expectations flipped upside down. Anytime something you're sure of changes in an instant, even when it's your own parents' divorce, it feels like a carnival ride. Sudden and off balance and nausea-inducing. Ryan turned, staring straight into my eyes.
Hey, Paige.
Heat broke out across my skin. Yeah?
Thanks for being so cool to Max, he said. Really. It means a lot to me.
Of course it would be about Max, our common denominator. You don't have to thank me. It's not a favor.
I know it's not, he said, shaking his head. I'm just glad that he's found people that he clicks with. He's awesome, and not everyone sees it.
Max was the human equivalent of a cult classic TV show. Most people didn't get it, but the people who did, they loved it for all of its quirks. You're a good guy, Ryan, I said, coiling up all my nervous energy and trying to convert it to braveness. If Leanne doesn't see it, then she's an idiot. He smiled a little, looking down at his lap.
Yeah, well.
And with the gusto of a much more confident girl, I leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. See you Monday. Okay, so it wasn't quite the actual kiss I had planned. But as I made my way up the driveway, I felt a swagger in my walk. I was inching toward the edge of something big, stepping closer to being Paige Hancock again. In my room, I searched my mom's collection of Martha Stewart magazines until I found a picture of tulips, bundled into a blue vase. They filled a blank space in my new collage, next to a picture of an open planner and a nail polish ad that looked like a row of Easter eggs. All the pastel colors Morgan used to paint on as a reminder. All the colors I'd loved ever since.
Tessa texted me as I was gluing on an ad for the Mission District, asking if she could stay the night at my house after the concert. I let my mom know she might hear Tessa come in late, and she nodded without looking up from her book. It had been my mom, after all, who bought Tessa a toothbrush to keep in my bathroom. I nodded off, but woke up when I heard my bedroom door close. "Hey," I said, turning over.
"Hey."
Tessa opened my bottom drawer where I kept t-shirts and sweats. When she climbed into bed, I asked, "How was the concert?"
"Amazing. Just completely beyond."
I could smell the Carmichael on her. Not bad, but hints of spilled beer and other girls' perfume.
"So everything's okay?"
I was so tired, my mouth barely opening.
"Everything's okay. It's just that my parents haven't been home in 2 weeks. Going home to a quiet house after such a great night sounded lonely."
"Tell me about the concert," I said. "It'll be my bedtime story." She laughed, and I fell asleep to her descriptions of dancing and banjos, the long draws of cello strings, and how being there made her feel like the world might be way more beautiful than anyone has been giving it credit for.
Chapter 17.
"Do you have any exciting plans for the weekend?"
"I'm going to a surprise birthday party tonight," I told my grandmother, snuggling into the floral pillows on her couch. I tried to say these words with nonchalance, even as my nerves did tiny pirouettes under my skin. Ryan himself had dropped me off for my visit with my grandmother. He was picking up our special ordered cake, and he'd be back to get me in an hour. We would head straight back to his house to set up for the party and wait for everyone to arrive.
"Who's the guest of honor?"
my grandma asked. "A friend of mine." I talked about Max a lot, but of course she didn't remember. She smiled.
"So, how was your quiz bowl match?"
"Oh, it was good." Then I thought for a moment. I was sure she didn't remember me mentioning it a week before. My mother must have told her earlier today. "We won."
"Wonderful. Who is Max?"
I blinked. "What?" She'd heard stories about Max, about Quiz Bowl and other silly anecdotes, but there had never been an indication that she retained this information.
"Max, who is he?"
"How do you know about him?"
"You told me."
She produced a little notebook from her purse on the floor.
"I've been feeling forgetful lately. Your mother said that could happen after a stroke and I should jot things down."
My mom tried to protect her from the confusion and fear of Alzheimer's, so it made sense that she would blame its effects on the stroke. Never mind that my grandmother had to be reminded every morning that she'd had a stroke in the first place.
"Here," she said, opening the notebook.
On a page dated a week before, she had written, "Paige here today. School is good. Ask about Quiz Bowl. Ask about Max."
"It's funny," she said, smiling. "I don't remember talking about him. Is he a friend of yours?"
"Yes," I said too quickly. On legal TV shows, the jumpy witnesses always had something to hide. "It's actually his surprise party tonight."
"What's he like?" she asked.
My grandmother would forget later anyway, but how could I box Max into a few sentences? The airplane obsession, the babysitting, the self-imposed uniform of button-down shirts and Converse. I said, "he's in all honors classes. He's the captain of the Quiz Bowl team. He actually, took me to the hospital the night you had your stroke." She peered down at her nails, trying to seem casual.
"Is he cute?" Then she studied my face intently. Subtlety is lost on the elderly.
Maybe, I said, shrugging. To girls who are into the dorky cute look.
What did you get him?
For his birthday.
Oh, just a book that I know he hasn't read, but I think he should. And, an IOU for a TV show marathon, with me, only because there's this show he really likes and I've never seen it. He keeps trying to get me to watch it. I'm kind of curious, so...
I trailed off, all too aware that I'd over-explained. This was, based on her expression, the exact response she'd been hoping for.
Sounds like this Max fellow might be more than a friend.
No, it's not like that. He's great. He's just...
I mean, he's on the robotics team at school. Like, he builds robots. For fun.
And is routinely sent to the nurse's office because he's so clumsy in gym class.
I heard my own words, and they sounded snobby. But not as mean as the flat-out truth. That I just wasn't attracted to Max like that. There was no zing, no confetti cannon, no tickle of butterfly wings in my stomach. I guess he's just not my type.
My grandmother smiled.
That's what I said about your father, Katie.
Paige.
She closed her eyes for a moment.
Paige, yes.
When she opened her eyes, they seemed bleary and far off.
I'm Gloria.
Right, I said, reaching over to pat her hand. Sometimes physical touch brought her into the present, reminding her of the where and when. She shook her head.
Silly me.
I don't know what made me say that. What were we talking about?
Max.
Yes. And what were you saying about him?
That he's a nice guy, but not my type. Despite the confusion that preceded this comment, my grandmother's mind seemed perfectly lucid as she smirked.
Oh, right. And I was not believing you.
As I set out drinks for Max's party, my grandmother's cheeky commentary bubbled inside me like carbonation. I was already nervous about pulling off the surprise part of the surprise party, but now I kept thinking about Max. If a septuagenarian with Alzheimer's saw a spark there, was I missing something? Did Max like me? If so, I sensed major awkwardness in the making. I replayed clips of him in my mind, and yes, we had fun hanging out. But the same could be said for him and Tessa. I'd seen my friends exchange looks once or twice when I mentioned Max. Morgan pressing her lips together to lock a gossipy comment inside of her mouth. But I never thought anything of it. Morgan could read relationship chemistry into me in a bag of potato chips. Nearly everyone had arrived. Now busying themselves with a superfluous amount of streamers and balloons. Ryan and I were in the kitchen, setting out the food and drinks.
Hey, a guy's voice said. Sorry I'm late, I parked all the way down the street.
Connor was one of Ryan's track friends whom I hadn't officially met. I'd always thought of him as a frat boy in training type, but up close he looked nicer. Dark eyes and an easy smile. In addition to Connor, Ryan had invited our usual group, plus Malcolm and Lauren.
It's cool, Ryan said. Max won't be here for another few minutes. He thinks we're going to a 7:20 movie. I brought bottled root beer, Connor said, heaving 2 6-packs onto the counter. Since you said no real beer. That's awesome. Ryan said, Max will think that's funny.
I nodded, smiling at Connor.
You want one?
Ryan asked me, pulling a bottle out of the pack.
Sure.
There you go, ma'am.
He twisted the cap off and slid it to me, winking like a flirty bartender in a sitcom. My mind went blurry with swooning.
Can you get everyone together? I'm going to start watching for him.
Max is always on time, I told Connor before calling for everyone to assemble.
Everyone quiet, Ryan yelled as he hurried back into the kitchen. He just pulled up.
All nine of us crouched behind the kitchen island. From outside, Max beeped his horn twice.
He'll come in, Ryan assured us. Give him a second.
We waited a few beats, an excited silence buzzing through the room.
Rye?
Max's voice carried in from the front door. I ran my fingers against my palms, stomach tight.
You ready to go?
I could hear Max's footsteps getting closer to the kitchen.
Rye?
He yelled louder.
Now!
Ryan stage whispered.
Surprise!
It was loud, collective, and excited as we all sprung up from behind the island. Max jumped backward, wide-eyed, as he took in our sudden appearance and the ridiculous decorations strewn around. Tessa held up her phone, capturing Max's genuine surprise. Everyone clapped and cheered as Max's mouth slid into a slightly embarrassed grin. I exhaled in relief, half because we'd really surprised him, and half because he was still just Max, no matter what insinuations my grandmother made.
You guys,
he said, sheepish.
Happy birthday, bud,
Ryan said, putting his arm around Max. In the basement, streamers were taped at every angle around the walls and ceiling. Ryan set up video games on the big screen, and I settled into a corner of the L-shaped sofa to take in the festivities. Tessa cranked up the playlist she'd made for the party as Tyler and Connor broke off to play pool. I sat back and watched everyone settle into comfortable conversations.
Our friends,
Ryan had said. And that's exactly what this group of people had become. The energy died down after a little while. I kept one eye on Kaylee, who wasn't quite herself. She was leaning against the pool table, locked into whatever Connor was saying. Her laugh rang out, forced and overdone, and it triggered a gut feeling that something was wrong. Her body language bordered on flirty, like she'd get this attention from the other guys if she couldn't get it from Eric. I flashed back to the night I'd snuck out to get her, and the wistful way she'd said love wasn't what she thought it would be. Is she okay? I whispered to Morgan. Who knows? Morgan gave me an eye roll that was so drawn out that I momentarily feared for her ocular health. Why does he never come to stuff like this? It's like he thinks he's too good for us. We'd been around Eric only 3 times. He was cute, wide in a football player way, but still distracted, constantly texting. I figured he was shy, overwhelmed by meeting lots of new people at once. That I could certainly understand.
We should play a game or something,
Tyler said.
Well, if it's up to the birthday boy,
Ryan said,
we'd be playing a rousing game of Scrabble. Shut up,
Max said, smiling good-naturedly.
You're still mad about aliquot. It's not a word, Ryan said.
It is, Tessa interjected. It's a math term.
Traitor,
Ryan said, but he grinned at her like a fool. I have a game, Kaylee announced, smirking as she downed the final sip of her root beer. She then held up the empty glass bottle and jiggled it back and forth. Tyler, the first one of us to process what she meant, made a whooping noise as everyone else caught up. Kaylee? Morgan said sternly. No. Tessa looked disgusted.
What are we, in 5th grade?
Morgan's head shot toward her. You played spin the bottle in 5th grade?
No, Tessa said, because nobody actually plays it. False, Kaylee said. I played at camp.
I want to go to that camp,
Tyler said. Everyone laughed, easing the tension.
In popular culture, Lauren said, spin the bottle is played after the participants have been imbibing alcohol. I don't imbibe alcohol, so.
Connor muffled a laugh with his hand, and I felt a surge of protectiveness toward Lauren. Yes, she sat with a ramrod straight posture and spoke like we were in a formal debate at all times, but there was more to her than that. Malcolm patted her leg.
No one's drinking tonight, Lore.
I'm in,
Ryan said. Cold sweat broke out across my back. This couldn't really happen. It was too awkward, too public. Tessa was right. No one really did this, and certainly not us. Tessa sighed, shrugging.
All right, why not?
There was clapping and laughing as everyone agreed. My stomach already felt sort of jittery, but now it was grumbling inside of me. I looked over at Morgan, hoping she would call the game to a stop. She didn't, probably owing to the chance of kissing Tyler, or even Malcolm, whom she'd been eyeing all night. Kaylee centered the empty bottle as everyone positioned themselves into a circle.
Now, she said, we're playing with one little modification.
The camp way? Tess asked, making air quotes as she rolled her eyes. Kaylee ignored her.
So, same rules as spin the bottle, only every seventh spin, those two people have to go in there,
she said, pointing to what seemed to be a closet door.
For 7 minutes in heaven.
Max groaned.
So we're combining the two most cliched kissing games in history?
Yep. Kaylee looked around at everyone. There were no protests as the music switched to the next song. I thought about ways to get out of playing, but the possibility of actually kissing Ryan Chase kept me anchored to the ground, silent. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, Lauren announced. I wanted to throw my arms around her neck and bear hug her.
You could think of it as a sociocultural rite of passage,
Malcolm suggested.
Plus, statistically speaking, the odds that it lands on you after any given spin are relatively slim.
A fair point, she agreed.
Oh, what the heck, Morgan said, sighing. Just spin.
The way that Tessa and I looked at her, she might as well have announced that she was dropping out of high school to become a stripper.
All right, Morgan, Connor said, laughing. Spin, Kaylee.
I sat cross-legged and relaxed my arms, trying not to look as tense as I felt. For a moment, I considered excusing myself to the bathroom and staying there until the game concluded. But as I glanced around, no one else seemed to be defecting or even making a big deal about it. For once in my life, I wished my friends would think of Aaron and realized that I hadn't really kissed anyone since him. Sure, I'd given Ryan Chase a peck on the cheek, and while it was sweet, it wasn't the same as kissing someone on the lips. But maybe it was as good a time as any. Get it over with, less build-up for later. There didn't have to be a right reason or even any reason at all. Besides, I didn't want to be seen as the only girl who wasn't fun. I took a deep breath as Tyler gave the bottle a decisive spin that landed on Kaylee. Everyone clapped as Tyler laid a chaste but dramatic kiss on Kaylee. I took a sip of my soda as Kaylee's spin landed on Malcolm, whose spin pointed to Max. We agreed that spin would count for the nearest girl, Tessa. These were just little pecks, but still the blood thumped in my ears. Tessa steadied herself for her turn. She spun the bottle and it loped around, finally landing on Ryan. I wrinkled my nose, blurring my vision as Tessa leaned in to kiss the love of my life. He wrapped a hand around the back of her neck. She jerked back and smacked his arm. Ryan?
Honestly.
He grinned.
I knew you loved me, Tessa.
Tessa's cheeks reddened. One more word, and I will have Morgan give you the consent lecture.
This was it. Ryan chases spin. I didn't breathe as it spun around, slowing and slowing. Come on, a few more degrees in my direction, I begged. But the open bottle pointed directly at Morgan. It was the first time in my life that I actually hated Morgan. The group, except for me, horror-struck, hooted as Morgan squirmed.
I'm not gonna embarrass you, Ryan said. That was just for Tessa.
Tessa made a face, and I averted my eyes. Watching two of my best friends kiss my ultimate crush was not my idea of a fun evening. Morgan took a deep breath and spun, watching the bottle land on Max.
Woo!
Connor yelled.
Both cousins in one night.
Kaylee made a tsking noise.
Promiscuous.
We all giggled as Morgan gave her a death look, blushing furiously. Max looked down at Morgan.
Are you going to freak out on me, Morgan?
Max asked.
No,
she mumbled, smiling as Max kissed her. It was sweet and quick, and Morgan giggled as he sat back. In truth, Morgan looked pretty pleased with herself. And in more truth, I was now a little peeved that the bottle hadn't landed on me yet. Even Morgan was kissing people, and I was sitting there like an idiot.
By my count, Kaylee called, this is spin 7. Ooh, pressure.
Connor yelled as Max's hand hovered over the bottle. He really put his wrist into the spin, and the bottle went wild, veering sideways as it lost momentum. I can't explain why I knew in my bones what would happen 1 second before it did. The bottle circled back slowly now, as it stopped so closely that the top almost touched my knee. It was pointing, irrefutably, at me. There was uproarious cheering as I looked up at Max and shrugged, an embarrassed smile creeping onto my face. I mean, we didn't actually have to do anything in the closet. This was the ideal compromise. I would participate, but I didn't actually have to kiss anybody.
Rules are rules, Kaylee called over the cheering.
Max stood up calmly, smoothing his shirt.
Janie,
he said, formal as he offered his hand to help me up. I took it, much to the delight of everyone else in the circle. Max seemed to be playing along, so I did too. I turned around and winked at them as Max shut the door behind us. This set them off into a frenzy of catcalls.
7 minutes, Kaylee yelled through the cheers. And counting.
In the dark silence, a shiver shuddered down my neck and spine. I reminded myself that I was alone with Max all the time. But the expectations radiated from the other side of the door, altering our dynamic before we'd even spoken.
Hold on. There's a side light,
he whispered. I brushed my bangs out of my face just for something to do with my hands as the light popped on overhead. It wasn't a closet, but a small, unfinished space with cement floors and shelves of Christmas decorations. The water heater hummed in the corner. I pressed myself against a shelf behind me, looking over at him.
We obviously don't,
Max started. I know, I crossed my arms.
Right, he nodded decisively. Definitely not.
I tried to laugh, but it sounded shrill and uneven. Yeah, obviously that would, you know, mess up our friendship. I made the laugh noise again.
Right. It's lame that we're playing this game anyway.
There were a few beats of quiet. In reality, it was probably 5 seconds, but it felt like 5 minutes. 5 excruciating minutes of throbbing, hot-faced awkwardness. Outside, I could hear people exchanging stories about worst kisses.
I strained to hear Tessa launch into her lizard tongue story.
So,
Max said,
who was your first kiss?
I thought for a moment. Brian Marburg, 6th grade. We went out for 2 days. Ah, true love. Max laughed, eyebrows shooting up. That was all it took for me to relax. It was just us. What about you?
Technically, Lauren, he said, gesturing to the closed door. In 5th grade. She was in 6th grade, that cradle robber.
No way!
Yep. Of course, it was exploring a scientific theory more than a kiss. Very clinical.
I smiled, but neither of us said anything more, and I pulled my arms in tighter without really meaning to.
It's okay. He pushed up one of his cuffed shirt sleeves. Don't be embarrassed.
Blood rushed to my face all over again, even though I wasn't sure why. Embarrassed about what? I asked. But he was right. I was embarrassed, and Max pointing it out made it worse.
How badly you want me?
Ha ha. I rolled my eyes as I stepped forward to push his shoulder lightly.
You have a thing for nerds, and that's fine.
I do not, I laughed. No offense or anything. He held his hands up dismissively.
No offense taken, since you're lying.
I'm not lying.
You think you're not lying.
He tapped his forehead knowingly.
But you're lying to yourself.
Sorry to break it to you on your birthday, I said. But you're not my type.
Oh? He grinned, raising his eyebrows. You have a type now?
I shrugged. Possibly.
Yeah.
He thought for a moment.
Your type is nerd.
Maybe your type is nerd.
Oh, it absolutely is.
My eyebrows pulled together, thinking of Nicolette from Coventry, pretty and smart, with a kind of avant-garde cool I envied. Nicolette doesn't really seem like a nerd.
She is, but maybe not nerdy enough. Maybe that's why it didn't work out.
Alas, I'm not your type either, I guess. I meant this to sound overdramatized, like it was all a big joke to me, but Max looked smug, like he was smirking at me.
You're very defensive about this,
he observed, leaning a little closer to me.
So you're telling me that if it weren't for the ruining our friendship issue, you would never, ever want to be in here with me?
Pretty much. I believed this as I said it, though it pained me to be unkind to someone who had become such a good friend. Sorry.
It's fine, Janie, he said with a wave of his hand. You're in denial.
Okay, Max, I said sarcastically. He stepped closer to me, so that his body was nearly up against mine. Before I could react, he put one hand around my waist and his other behind my neck. He didn't hesitate, didn't pause. He tilted my head up toward him, his thumb on my chin. Oh God, he was seriously going to kiss me, and in that moment I seriously wanted him to kiss me. My heart gave a surge like a confetti cannon so loud that I was sure he must have heard it as his lips moved toward mine. My eyes closed instinctively.
Denial,
he whispered close to my mouth. He backed away immediately, moving a few steps from me. I opened my eyes instantly, and he grinned like this was a hilarious joke. It stopped being funny to me, as jokes often do, when they wind up being true. My brain tried to recover, while my body tried to melt into a puddle on the floor. Never in a million years would I have guessed that Max Watson had moves. Moves that worked. He was giddy with laughter, head tilted back.
Oh my God, I freaked you out so badly. Wow, Janie, your face. Total panic.
I exhaled and placed my hands on my hips. He misread my reaction completely to my relief. Seriously? God, Max?
Okay, he said, still oblivious. I have a plan.
For what? My hand found a shelf ledge and I steadied myself against it.
Our audience.
I narrowed my eyes at him. Okay. He reached his arms over toward me again, only this time he ruffled my hair. Hey, I cried, swatting him off before he could mess up my bangs. But Max was now mussing his own hair, beyond even its normal mussed state. 10, voices called from the outside. 9. I looked over at Max and grinned slyly. I undid the top button of my shirt.
Good thinking, he said.
The countdown continued, a mounting chant. 6, 5. Max undid his belt so that both ends swayed against his jeans. 2, 1. The door flew open and I pretended to look panicked. I rebuttoned my shirt and I heard Max's belt jangling as he redid the buckle. We were met with hoots and laughter. We walked out of the room feigning sheepishness and I attempted to fix my hair. You all think you're so funny. Morgan shook her head. Max gave her a wily smile.
Whatever do you mean?
You guys are dorks, Kaylee added, laughing. We sat back down in the circle, where Max was met with a slap on the back from Tyler.
I knew you had it in you, cuz,
Ryan called from the other side of the circle.
Oh, please, Morgan said. Nothing happened.
Everyone knew that already, of course, and the game died off in favor of video games. But while I was still breathing and participating in the conversation, I felt stunned. The movement of the room seemed to slow down around me as I replayed what had just happened. I could barely look at Max, who was laughing, his disheveled hair falling in his face. I doubted that he actually liked me because if he did, the moves he pulled would have been pretty gutsy. Plus, he seemed to be joking around. But I couldn't undo it now. The feeling of his hand on my waist and the way my heart had bungeed to the floor and back. Ryan was more of an idea in my mind, and Max was a person. My person. Sure, I daydreamed about Ryan, imagined being his girlfriend and what that would be like. But it was Max who remembered everything I ever told him. Max, who looked perpetually delighted when I made him laugh. Max, who watched me from the driver's seat as we talked, hour after hour, in his car. I could pick up the sound of his laugh in the busiest hallway. When had I learned him so completely? His rolled shirt sleeves and his jaunty walk, and the way he chewed at his thumbnail when something was really perplexing him. It all played like a montage in my mind. Max by my side all these months. I had seen myself reflected back in his glasses 100 times, my own face smiling, interested, at ease in his presence. How had I not seen him? Maybe my feelings for Max had been there the whole time, obscured by the rubble of the Ryan Chase crush that I'd somehow outgrown. I'd been focused on rebuilding with the debris of my former life, when instead I should have been clearing myself a path out. And that path led straight to Max. For the rest of the night, I found myself watching Max. His smiles and reactions and the way his face was illuminated when he leaned forward to blow out the candles on his cake. He looked flush with excitement, his friends' voices echoing against the walls in a sugar-fueled rendition of Happy Birthday. He laughed heartily as he made out the firefly ship in icing form, and he glanced up at Ryan and me. My lips formed a smile as we launched into the final verse of the song. Make a wish, Morgan said, as Max took a deep breath. The flames sizzled out.
What did you wish for?
Kaylee teased. Through the trails of candle smoke, I searched his face for tells. For any sign of what Max Watson's wish would be. He didn't give Kaylee an answer, or even look at her, but his mouth turned up into a content smile. And in that moment, I found myself hoping that he had wished for me. Chapter 18. In the weeks that followed, I wasn't sure how to act around Max. Sentences tied themselves into knots in my brain, and I kept stuttering when I spoke to him. We watched Indiana Jones at his house, and fine, it was awesome. But my heart beat double time for 2 straight hours, even when his mom sat down with us to watch the end. He cashed in the Firefly marathon I'd promised him, and Tessa watched it with us out of genuine interest. We were all parked on the couch at Max's house when we heard a voice.
Hey, hey, someone said from the door leading in from the garage.
Ryan walked in, looking relaxed and purposeful, until he saw Tessa and me, with Firefly still blaring on the TV.
Oh, hey, ladies, he said.
His eyes found the TV.
Okay, what is happening here? Sci-fi education at its finest,
Max said. I had to admit, the show's world building was impressive, with well-drawn characters and masterful banter.
Oh my God,
Ryan said, his gaze moving between me and Tessa.
Are you being held here against your will? Blink twice if you're hostages.
Ryan nodded off in a recliner as we continued our marathon. After 3 episodes, Max paused the show and turned to me.
Okay. Early verdict from the TV buff.
Well, I said, it has scrappy underdogs, a large-scale setting, subtle character moments, and great pithy humor.
In other words, Max said, you love it. Firefly is your life now.
I threw a pillow at him as Tessa laughed. Just hit play. As the days wore on, I spun possible scenarios in my mind time and time again. When I was lying in bed at night or daydreaming in class. But I knew the truth deep down in my gut. I couldn't do a thing about it, even though I suspected he might feel the same. Max was just so intimidatingly real. I already knew him better than I'd ever known Aaron. If we did go out, there wouldn't be any hesitant getting to know you dates. He'd seen me upset, seen me in sweatpants during the weekends. He already knew so many of my secrets. So us together? It would be intense immediately. Serious, even. Still, I edited my plan for the 3rd time. Number 3. Date. Parentheses. Cross out. RC. The whole idea seemed silly and shallow now. I'd liked Ryan the way I liked fashion magazine editorials. Girls in full skirts with doe legs and tall heels, the ones that make you think, how beautiful, I wish that could be my life. Ryan Chase was my 8th grade collage, aspirational and wide-eyed. But Max was the first bite of grilled cheese on a snowy day, the easy fit of my favorite jeans, that one old song that made it onto every playlist. Peanut butter Girl Scout cookies instead of an ornate cake. Not glamorous or idealized or complicated. Just me. Besides, Max had never given me any concrete reason to think we were more than friends. Maybe that's all I was to him, and I was extrapolating us into totally fictional territory.
I read into every comment, every glance, every paper airplane note in class. I honestly couldn't remember what I thought about before I met Max Watson.
So,
Max said. We were walking down the hall together after school, heading to his car for an away quiz bowl match.
Tessa and I are getting tickets for another concert at the Carmichael. It's not till June, but I think you'd really like the band. I mean, if you're not at NYU, which I still think you will be.
I'd have to ask Tessa, I said. She's particular about who can go to concerts with her. She hates when the other person isn't as into the music, says it distracts her. The Carmichael is like her fort, and I'm not always allowed.
I could get you in with her, he said with a half-joking confidence. I know the secret knock.
I turned my head to grin at him, but I was distracted by the sound of plastic hitting the floor by my left foot. A pen with a chewed-up cap. Hey, I said to the guy in front of me, shuddering as I picked up the mangled pen. You dropped this. The boy turned around. It was stoner Josh in a baggy black sweatshirt, blinking at me with bloodshot eyes.
Phew, he said, taking the pen from me. That's my only one. Thanks, Grammar Girl.
Hey, Max snapped, turning toward Josh. Her name is not Grammar Girl. My face flushed, caught between embarrassment and affection. Max looked down at Josh, who was clearly startled by the confrontation.
He said, glancing over at me before he took off down the hall. Sorry. Her name is Janie,
Max called after him.
Janie.
Thanks, Janie, stoner Josh said over his shoulder. I hate you, I muttered to Max.
Sure you do.
I crossed my arms. He stood there, a few steps ahead of me, waiting for me to catch up. I waited in my mind for the thousandth time. The fluttering in my chest versus the shattering possibility of destroying our friendship. And even though I rolled my eyes, I made my way toward him. This was actually good, Cameron proclaimed, scraping at her plate. I'm stuffed.
Grazie,
my dad said, affecting a heavy Italian accent as he took a bow. As usual, he was already hunched over the sink, scrubbing dishes. I shook my head at his dramatics, savoring the last bite of his chicken tetrazzini. Why didn't Mom come over? Cameron bit into another breadstick, apparently not as stuffed as she claimed.
Can't I still have an evening with just my girls sometimes?
He asked. Of course you can, I said. You know what I mean, Cameron said. I'm like used to you being over there most of the time. It seems weird to come here without her.
Well, he said, some alone time is good for her.
There was a pause as I handed off my plate to my dad. I dropped my silverware into the dishwasher. So like, Cameron said through a mouthful of breadstick, do you think you and her will get married again? I cringed both at her pronoun usage and her bluntness. Cameron, I said, shooting her the most contemptuous look in my repertoire. What? She sneered at me. It's a legitimate question. I did appreciate the four-syllable word, rare as it was for her. Dad, you don't have to answer that, I said, making my way back to the table to clear the glasses. I swatted my sister's arm as I walked by. I didn't want my dad to feel on the spot, but more important, I wasn't ready to hear his answer.
No, it's fine, my dad said.
His voice sounded relaxed, but he kept his eyes fixed on the pan in front of him, scrubbing vigorously.
The answer is that I have no idea.
I sighed in relief because that was the only answer I could handle.
If he'd said no, I would worry that he was leading my mom on. But I wasn't ready to hear him say yes either, unwilling to imagine that another signed marriage certificate could end in a second set of divorce papers.
I think you should, Cameron said.